Well, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork School Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, going through all the roundup of Cork's sport and further afield as well. We're going to start with this one, however, as Cove native King Callum Walsh got the knockout victory to stay undefeated in the Three Arena last night. And what a moment it was.
Ladies and gentlemen, the in comes officially 2 minutes, 6 seconds, round number two. Referee David Irving reaches the count of 10 for your winner by way of knockout. He is still the undefeated WBC Continental America Super Welterweight Champion, King Callum Walsh.
Undefeated at 12-0 in your pro debut on Irish soil. Look at this crowd. How does it feel?
Ooh, baby, this is unbelievable. Oh, what a night. The crowd is electric. And what do they say? He'd never been stopped until he got hit by me.
Everything you landed tonight seemed to have significance, consequence. Is this about as perfect as the game plan could have gone for you?
I'm going to bring back the line. I just hit too hard.
You targeted the body early and you hurt him. But the first punch he landed on you, you countered him and delivered the knockout. Tell me about that sequence.
Yeah, you know, I was in the back and I was practicing the body shot. I knew I was going to hurt him with the body shot. Let me see that. I missed it. Oh, wait, here we go. Boom, boom. Yeah, that's it. You know what I mean? Good night. Once you get touched on the chin by my left hand, it's game over. Game over.
A packed house. Soil, how about this atmosphere? How about these fans tonight?
Oh, this is unbelievable. You know, I can't wait to get back. Dana White told me we're coming back. This is going to be a reoccurring thing. This is not a one and done. We're going to be back again. This is just the beginning.
Just 23 years old. What does this performance say about your prospects for the future?
Oh, you know, this, he's never been stopped. This is just sealed the deal here now. You know, I am a contender. I'm not a prospect. I'm a contender. And I'm coming for everything. Coming for all the belts. You know, and I want to bring them back here to Ireland. To the Irish people. The people of Ireland who showed up here tonight and made it rain after the victory. I hope Dana White brought his umbrella.
Such a big victory, such a breakthrough performance. What can be next for King Callum Walsh?
Whoever, whenever, we'll bring this Irish crowd and we'll take over the world.
Dublin, let's hear it. King Callum Walsh.
Yeah, audio taken there from the boxing ring in front of a packed Three Arena last night. What a moment for the young Cork man. Now, earlier on today, I caught up with Matt Meehan of IrishBoxing.com to chat about the fight night. Dana White and Callum potentially bringing a fight back to Cork. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench on Cork School Times Red FM by IrishBoxing.com's young journalist Matt Meehan. Matt,
how are we?
What a night in the Three Arena anyway, firstly.
Oh my God, listen, star after star, Thomas Carty, Sean O'Keefe, Callum Walsh, you name it, we were all, and they were all there. Gareth Dowling making his professional debut with a second round KO, Sean O'Keefe getting the stoppage, Thomas Carty, the bomber, also getting the stoppage, and a magical night in the Three Arena when himself, Dana White, and UFC Fight Pass there. What else and what better can we get?
I mean, I guess we're keeping a keen interest on Cork's Callum Walsh, the Cove man after all. What did you make of his fight? Not that there was much to go off of, he ended it so quickly.
Listen, he told me during the week that it was going to be short, it was going to be sweet, it was going to be quick, and he lived up to his promise and even more that, and Freddie Roach looked absolutely delighted in that corner. Callum Walsh, that swift and fast left hand, and Wierowski was never, when he took it, he was never getting up from it, and that's all she wrote. Literally, that's all she wrote, and it was that left hand, and when Wierowski knew it was coming, it hit his chin and he went down, and the referee counted to 10 and that was it.
Do you think it was a fair stoppage? I think maybe he was a bit premature, but I think he would have ultimately won and done the job handy anyway.
Listen, I think if Wierowski came in for a second time, I think Walsh just would have put it on him and he wouldn't have folded. And I think that he wouldn't have gone out that second round. Yeah, no, Callum Marty, he boxed beautifully. First round, he came out nice and flowy, just like a disco dancer. He was out there, his hands were down, he was enjoying it. The crowd was absolutely unreal. It's one of the magical, most magical crowds I've ever been a part of. Waltz was there, and he was slipping and sliding and rolling in under the shots. He was throwing the shots at the same time. But yeah, I think if it went past, I wouldn't have went past the third round. I think he would have called him out in the second round, 100%.
Did you get a chance to speak to Callum after the fight?
I did, yeah, and I asked him on that night, what would that rank out of 10? And he said 11. That was the best night of his life, and I truly believe that. He enjoyed himself every single second. I seen Tabitha Ritchie as well, Callum Walters' girlfriend, and she looked over the moon, and I think Dublin has many more nights of boxing to come.
Well, he's kind of hinting at the Cork fight, and Dana even said it himself, he's interested in going down. So do you think that's a possibility that we do it down in Cork?
I think 2020, I think next year, obviously the 30 year anniversary of Steve Collins versus Chris Eubank, what an amazing fight that was. And I think it's only right to do it at Mill Street. Porky Queef maybe, but we know at the GEA what they're like we've seen with Matchroom, they didn't allow Kate Ted, it was a Shantar Cameron to go ahead, or Amanda Serrano. But listen, I think if Porky Queef can happen, or maybe even Mill Street, 10,000 people at Mill Street on a magical night, we know the Rebels can bring it, and we've seen it in the Gar, we've seen it in the boxing, these lads. And Dan, you Rebel yourself, you know the Cork lads can bring it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the biggest problem with Porky Queef is probably the lack of a roof on it. The Green Glens might suit it a bit better, just for fear it would actually rain. I was in there, I was lucky enough to be there. Can you describe the atmosphere to any of our listeners here? What it was like?
Listen, it was like a load of Irish lads and in an arena, a bit of drink on them, and you know we partied all night long. Mania 2000, Grace, all the traditional songs that we would use for a walkout. Thomas Curtis' walkout was Grace into Mania 2000, and when Mania 2000 hit, the crowd went absolutely mental. Same as when Callum Walsh won, beers literally thrown into the ring. It was like I got showered with beer myself. It was absolutely unreal. I was only happy, I was blessed, and I was truly blessed to be there. But for the people that haven't been to an Irish boxing event yet, and people are saying Irish boxing is slept on, get yourself down to an Irish boxing event. There's one happening on the 4th of October at the Red Cow Warehouse. That's only a small piece of what Irish boxers can do. But listen, Irish boxing is well and truly here to stay, and it is well and truly alive.
What does it also mean for Thomas Carty and Emmett Brennan now? There's a bit of controversy between in the Emmett Brennan fight, to be fair. I thought Kevin Cronin, Kerry's Kevin Cronin, actually did win the fight. What was your own take on it?
Listen, I think Kevin Cronin, an absolute warrior, Emmett Brennan, an absolute warrior as well, but I scored a draw myself. I was obviously in between the media room, but what I've seen, I scored a draw. Kevin Cronin, again, I have so much time for that man, same as Emmett Brennan. I've much time for the both of them. I only wish the best of them luck, but I think Kevin Cronin also, I seen his Instagram post after, I think he was hurt done by a small bit. Dana White firing shots after in the post-fight press conference, saying that if we come back, international judges will be brought in the next time. The BUI judges will not be needed. I don't know what the BOI have said about that yet, but I say they will have a firm statement come next week if they apply to Dana White.
Absolutely. And where does Thomas Carty go from here then? The heavyweight Dubliner getting a nice knockout for himself?
100%. I think Thomas Carty will go to America. I think it's the only move abroad. Obviously, it's unfortunate that any other Irish boxer can't advance their career, and they can't stay on it for the whole of their career. I think I'd love for that to only happen, but I think Thomas Carty, he'll be off to America. I'd love to see him in Boston, MSG, the famous MGM Grand. I think anywhere is possible for Thomas Carty, but as he said to me, he wants to fill out the Trey Arena and he wants to headline the Trey Arena first. So if that doesn't happen, it's America. Same as Emmett Brennan. Emmett Brennan said that he wants to go to America. So listen, any Irish boxer that wants to go abroad, we only wish them the best luck, and we're always here to back them whenever they come back.
Absolutely, absolutely. And why do you think Dana White has such interest in Callum Walsh? Because Callum Walsh is the only boxer signed by Dana, and we saw this huge, huge backing from the UFC last night in Dublin. But why do you think Dana has singled out Callum?
Listen, I think Callum is a truly special boxer. As Dana said to the press after the post-fight press conference, it's going to take something special to single him out, and it's going to take something special for Dana's eyes to be caught upon Callum. I don't know what it was. Dana has kind of a special thing with fighters where, you know, he'll pick and choose, but I think Callum was really the right choice, and it's amazing that he's an Irish boxer, but Callum is truly one of the ones to look at, and I think he's a future world champion. I think Dana knows that, and he's given him his back, and I think that's the reason why Dana has picked Callum Hutch.
What do you think is next for Callum? Is it a fight in America first and then bring it home to Cork, hopefully?
Listen, I think he needs one more fight in America and then Mill Street. It has to be Mill Street. It's nothing but Mill Street. Everyone was talking about it last night. We said Mill Street. Listen, what do you think, Dan, yourself? Do you think that Cork will be able to fill out Mill Street with 10,000 people and Callum Hutch?
110% I would. Of course, the Cork public certainly get behind their own, so you could. Duke Park of Kiev might not sell out. I mean, it was only, what was it, 10,000-13,000 people in Three Arena last night.
Yeah.
But I think the Green Glens certainly be a great arena as well, especially with the
Turner's Cross,
the boxing legacy we had. Well, Callum might want to go to St. Colin's Park, where of course Cove Ramblers play, so you never know, but it'd be great to see him in Turner's Cross, or even Musgrave Park as well. It might be suited to it too.
But no, listen, I think any arena in Cork would fill out. The Rebels are known for their famous celebrations, and we've seen it throughout the GAA season time and time and time again. Ye lads bring it, and I think especially with Callum Hutch, that extra fire and that extra bit of boxing, I think ye lads will be able to fill out Cork. But listen, anywhere that boxing is, irishboxing.com will be, and you can assure that we will cover it if Callum Hutch ever comes back. But again, any Irish boxer that goes over to America, the best of luck to anyone, and we will back our Irish boxers wherever and whenever they go.
Absolutely. Did you get the chance to talk to Dana White yourself last night?
Listen, I had a few words with him, and I said, listen, Dana, I think it's time that you bring Ireland to a special play. I think you bring Ireland back as a regular. We talked about in the pre-fight press conference during the weigh-in and the press conference that we said, listen, Dana, it's time for Conor to come home. And he said Conor will only come back if Croker ever happens. But listen, I think it's time that Dana comes back to Ireland and makes it a regular. But me and Dana had a few words. We joked a small bit, and listen, I think Dana loves the Irish, and I think he's coming back here in a regular.
Unbelievable. Matt Meehan, thanks so much for speaking to us here on
Costco
Times Red FM. Appreciate it.
No bother.
Apologies about the audio there. Matt coming to us from a train somewhere, heading out towards Maynooth, but it's kind of sound like someone was doing the lawn in the background. But look, hopefully we can get that Cork fight sooner rather than later. Matt was also there in the post-fight press conference for IrishBoxing.com with Dana White and Callum Walsh. We're going to hear some of that now.
I've been here before. No, I
well, for the last time compared to now, what was it? Did you see any difference in much more matter than the Irish Cork one?
Yeah, the only difference is in the game. I mean, other than that, the Irish, man, it's awesome. When you come into one of these venues and the fans, it's fun. Very fun. And my production team does such a good job. I mean, everybody was texting me from the States going, the energy seems insane in there. You know, the great crowd shots, and you can hear all the chanting, singing, and it translated very well on the television, too.
In terms of
and that's the other thing, too. I don't know who of you were there yesterday or weren't, but, I mean, this thing was distributed all over the world. This just wasn't on Fight Pass. And again, this thing was on TNT Sports here in Ireland and the UK. And, Russia, New Zealand, Australia, Mexico, Canada, the list goes on and on. So this thing's on real networks, ESPN, Fox, et cetera, et cetera. And I have to thank the Warren family again for being classy enough to do what they did.
On terms of all the fights you've had, how special was that homecoming for you on a scale of 1 to 10?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it was an 11, man. No, the crowd reaction, the walking, the points flying into the ring after. I nearly caught one at the end. I can only see that, but I nearly caught one. That was unbelievable. No, better than I ever could imagine.
Just walk me through your performance, just bit by bit. Round one, obviously, was a three-out round, a few good shots there. Round two, was there a meaningful to actually go for the stoppage, or was it just take it round by round, and then if the stoppage comes,
Yeah, I was always looking for a stoppage, you know. I was going to, my plan was to break the body early and then knock him out, you know, and it happened very early, you know. I heard him with the body shots at the start. I see him dropping his hands, and that's when I caught him right in the chin.
And that's all, Gino. Cal, thank you so much for the invitation.
Huge thanks to Matt there for the audio and for speaking to us earlier on to a bit of GAA now. And journalist John O'Shea was there for us last night as Middleton beat Newtown Chandrum in the Premier Senior Hurling Club Championship to send them into a semi-final against Sarsfields. Earlier today, I caught up with him to talk about the state of play in the Cork Club Championship. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our one and only John O'Shea. John, you were at Middleton Newtown Chandrum for us yesterday. Finished up Middleton 220, Newtown 115. What was your perspective of the match?
You know, it was actually a pretty, like, the first half in particular was a pretty even Steven affair, to be honest. You know, like, so typically, like, Newtown, even you can see the group stages, they only lost by a point to Sars, the county champions of last year. Like, you could just really see, like, a typical Newtown Chandrum kind of performance. Like, they're never ever written off, and obviously spearheaded by the likes, obviously the all star nominated Cox, Tim O'Mahony as well, though he was influential. And but, you know, Middleton always had a bit of a threat in the forward line, and they're, like, the likes of Conor Lehan, Luke O'Farrell were exceptionally lively for them. And, you know, for all 40 odd minutes, it was a really even Steven kind of a game. You felt it could have gone either way. Like, even Newtown were leading by 2 points at half time. But I think the game kind of completely turned once Middleton scored the goal around the 40th minute mark, their second goal, from Luke O'Farrell. It really was like a one way of traffic from there on in. Really, they Middleton bossed the game for the last quarter, and they charged to the line and over into a county semi final with Sars, which is obviously a repeat of the county final from last year.
Yeah, I mean, who stood out in the Middleton side to you? Obviously, you mentioned Lehan O'Farrell there. Were they the main ones? I think Dave Kremen had a good game as well, by all accounts.
They did, like, you know, and I think that's one thing with Middleton. You know, there's a real, obviously, there's a couple of, obviously, the likes of Conor Lehan, some of those kind of maybe household names for maybe kind of your general observers as well. But, like, there's a massive amount of strength and depth with Middleton. Like, there's a lot of even if you go through their whole starting 15, a lot of guys have either currently in the Cork setup. Obviously, like, to Brian Saunders, and he was actually very good in goal last night as well. You have guys who are either currently involved with Cork teams or who would have been like Cork minor under 20s in the last couple of years as well, you know. So there's a massive strength and depth there, like with Middleton, and like even Aaron Mulcahy even coming on from the bench last night was he got a point and he was lively when he came on as well. So like they're kind of team, like they don't depend like on one individual, and like they're motoring well all year. Like, and you can see now they seem like the kind of squad they're trying to peak at this time of the year, and they want to be in the business end of the championship.
Of course. And then we have some other quarterfinal. We've Kanturk versus Blackrock. It'll probably be on now, realistically, by the time this audio goes out. But what way do you see that one going?
You know, that's a real kind of an intriguing kind of a tie as well. Like, you know, with Kanturk as well. Like, it's an incredible journey that they've been on over the years as well, and they're never ever like beaten easily. But then, obviously, like I think with Blackrock, the staff, Alan Connolly, Robbie Cotter, they're another team that have immense strength and depth there as well. Like, so it could go either way. Like, I mean, like I can have, if there could be a bit of a surprise, or not a surprise, but you know, I have a sneaky suspicion, like, that Kanturk could pull the job off, you know, as well. And on the day, like, they seem to be motoring well all year. And like who knows, they might have the Rockies number tonight, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah, they've got off to a fantastic start. If you were tipping someone to take home the spoils this year, who do you think's in front running?
For the champ at large, really, I think
at large,
you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, the likes of even the games tomorrow, for example. Listen, in McKinney, for example, if you're looking at, if you look through their, and I was looking through their team earlier today as well, like in terms of their squad, and like it's neat looking. It looks like you're looking at an intra-county panel. Like, there's just so much strength and depth there, and like that's when even you figure into the fact as well, like that the Fáil O'Neill's guys who they're playing tomorrow, the likes of Decky Daltons and the Millericks, like they're not playing for McKinney anymore, obviously. No, so like it just shows you the strength and depth that's in the McKinney division at the moment as well. Like, so like you have to think they've been the shake-up. I think Sars are another team now who obviously they're strictly to the semi-final.
They'd be facing Middleton now, yeah.
they are another team, like, I think all year they just seem to be motoring well, and like they, you know, they have a good old setup there. Obviously the Johnny Crowley, the manager, but obviously the Rock Dermot O'Sullivan's in, and the management team there as well. It's like, so just even having some of his experience and know-how on the sideline as well, is it's pretty useful to have that. But no, they're a similar kind of squad, you know. That's why I think that Middleton Sarge game could be really, really intriguing, because we have two teams who, like, the strength and depth is there, it's immense, and like it really is about watering comfort when that comes around in a few weeks' time.
And I mean, Senior A, is it just give the cup to Glen Rovers at this point, really, or do you think anyone can surprise them?
You know, obviously the game, obviously we'll see how the weekend pans out, but you know, obviously the prospect of a Northside City derby, the Pearse League, and the, you know, that would really whet the appetite, and I think that'd be if you're trying to get tickets for a game that weekend, that'd be one of the golden tickets in Cork. But like, yeah, I think if you're, I suppose, really, other than that, a derby element, you just, I suppose, if you're going by it maybe purely on hurling terms this season or on paper, you have to say really probably it is probably the Glens to lose at this stage, really. Like they have been the standout team this year in the Senior A, like, and you can just see like they're gunning to get back up into the top tier of hurling in Cork at the first time of asking.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd be favourites to take home the spoils in that one. Where are you out this evening? Like, you hear a bit of noise going on in the background there.
I'm down here at the headquarters of Camogie and Cork in Castle Road. There's the Camogie quarterfinals around there as well. There's a double header. The first game was the Bears and Enniscarra. The Bears won that 13-8 points. Spearheaded obviously the Orla Cahillane, a couple of Cork stars with them, but the Bears, Orla Cahillane, got a goal in 5 points.
Wow.
And then obviously her sister Maeve Cahillane was playing as well, and Sorka McCartan, another Cork senior. So like they're a team that they're looking like they could, a lot of people are tipping them to go all the way in the Camogie Championship this year. So like they look well equipped to go close, and like depending on like, I suppose, the way it's going at the moment, the Camogie, it could be like a Sarsfield St Finbar's final if all goes to Fawn. But so it'll be intriguing to see how it pans out. Like, I mean, even the next game out here in the minute is Corsi Rovers and Clidduff, and so Corsi have a couple of Cork players as well, though, like Fiona Keating and Sears McCarthy. So yeah, though, like, I suppose it's maybe the curling as well. Like, we were touching earlier, like the Camogie, there's plenty. There's good quality and there's good games on around the hope. That even this morning there was a junior game on here, and Ashling Thompson was playing for Milford. So like, it was exciting for people to kind of get out and about to games as well, and seeing your All Ireland and your Cork Stars as well playing out for their clubs. And it's, you know, especially this time of the year, as well, you know.
Well, speaking of the Cork Stars here, how many nominations do we have in the All Stars at the moment? I think it's nine Cork players nominated for an All Star. Do you think anyone's guaranteed on that list so far?
Yeah, I suppose there's definitely, you'd have to think, like, so Darragh Fitzgibbon now, off the top of my head, be one name who should be there.
Robert Downey, surely.
Exactly. Do you know, there's definitely a number of names there, like, you think you should be putting on the list. But like, you know, I think after these awards as well, I think probably was, but with players, I think sometimes, especially maybe the Cork lads this year, I'd say they probably would rather they'd swap an All Star for an All Ireland middle, like, you know. So I thought that it's kind of subjective as well. I mean, having been on or kind of absorbing kind of committees as well, like, certain years they'd be, you know, job, I suppose there's going to be some kind of contentions always in this fella in or this person in. But like, you think there'd be at least, you'd have to think at least, hopefully with the All Star team, you think there should be at least a half dozen, if not more, Cork players on it for sure, you know.
Well, hopefully, yeah. Shane Barrett's there, Brian Hayes, Tuam O'Mahony, Seamus Harney, Hoggy, Joyce and Collins there as well. It's going to be very competitive and great to see, and I'm sure that only helps the club championship as well. People want to see them.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. So that's the beauty with the game in Cork as well. Like, you know, you're getting up in the room, like, even at games the weekend, like, if you're going watching the Glen, even this year, if you're going watching the Glen now playing in the championship, I've seen the likes of Patrick Horgan at the club, or even the game of Killy tomorrow, there's how many Cork players on their team as well, you know what I mean? Like, there's plenty of strength in there, and even going right down the grades as well. Like, even last night I think Seamus Harney was playing for his club, St. Eastas, like in the junior East Cork Championship. So like, to right across the divisions, and even right across the grades, and even in the regional, the divisional games as well, there's plenty of talent on show. And I think it's kind of shortens the winter for in my opinion, like sort of for myself, but even actually for, I think for Cork, so hurling supporters in general, like, so you want to go and I suppose it kind of whets the appetite, and you're not waiting for 6-7 months before the inter-county stuff starts again, you know.
Absolutely. Well, John O'Shea, I know it's getting closer to the throne there at the Camogie, so I leave you go. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench.
No bother. Thanks, Dan. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Well, after the victory over Newtown last night, John Hurt from Middleton, manager Micheál Cúchán.
Right, Micheál, Cúchán, you're in the county semi-final, so what's your assessment on the game first one?
I said for the first 40 minutes was the most uncomfortable 40 minutes of hurling we've had in a while. We probably just didn't do a few things, made a lot of very, very simple mistakes. They're a very good outfit, though. They're a good team, you know, and I'd say they picked up a couple of injuries towards the end. They probably had injuries coming into it as well. So, you know, they were unlucky from that side of things, and then we probably kicked on a little bit then for the last 15 minutes, but you know, they played very well in the second half and put in a big shift, so that was the positive coming out the back end of it.
Yeah, and the fact as well to consider the way you were at the end of the first half, you know, the response he showed in even as the second half, and Tony must have been happy with the character and the resolve of the players to kind of
they generally tend to do that. The harder it is, the better they are, generally, and I think they just like making things difficult for us, I think. But no, they've been fantastic. They reacted really well, so it's good.
Yeah. And any encouraging aspect of Bloom would be like with your forward line, obviously, like Connolly Hand, got a good 2 points for them, but it was seen to be a good spit of scores.
Yeah, Luke got a couple of great scores. Davey Cremlin got a couple of great scores. Rigo Ross, so Regan got a score. You know, Alex chipped in as he always does. It was a good spread of scores, which is really, really positive. Like, you want everybody scoring, you know, it can't all be just relying on Connor all the time, you know.
Yeah, and I think, I suppose, as a management, if you look at even with the squad and how they've progressed over the year, you must be pleased with how things have gone.
Yeah, Aaron Mulcahy came on there and he was brilliant. He deserved to play. He's been fantastic for us all the way through the league, and he's played in all sorts of different positions, and he's been good everywhere he's played. So I was delighted that he actually got a run with the seniors in Championship today. He deserved it, and he played well when he came on.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you're going over hurling at least away from the county final. As a club, as well, it's exactly where you want to be this time of the year.
Yeah, look, it's great. We've 2 weeks of training now, so we have an intermediate and a senior semi final to look forward to. So, training will be hot and heavy now for the next 2 weeks.
Brilliant stuff there. The ref's whistle has gone for half time here on the Big Red Bench. Come back to us in the second half. We'll have all the latest Cork City action as well as some of the Premier League.
The Big Red Bench at FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. Hope you enjoyed that bit of Justin Bieber before the ads there. Last night, Cork City drew 2-2 with Finn Harps in the cross. Our very own Roy O'Hagan was there for us at the cross, as we heard from Seanan Maguire and City boss Tim Clancy.
I didn't think the boys actually did too bad in the first half. I think it was just like two probably sloppy goals. I think the boys controlled the first half, and then second half we could have scored 6 or 7. I think I could have scored 3 or 4 myself, but happy enough with the two. And as the gaffer said in there, it's kept the dumb beaten run at home, which is important. And he said when we won the league, we want to keep this unbeaten run and finish the season high, and thankfully, look, we should have really won the game in the end, but thankfully we didn't come away with second loss of the season. Yeah, I definitely knew. I think as the game went on, I think there was going to be more and more chances. The game started to open up. They probably let us have a little bit more of the ball that impressed us as high, and that led Niall and John to kind of step in, and then suck one of their midfielders out, and then either playing it to me or Keats, and then out wide, and we got a lot of joy with that. We created a lot of chances, and again, I know it's not a win, but it's still a lot of positives. And yeah, Now the next 4 games, we want to finish the season, as I said, on a high, and bring that into next season. So, yeah, I think I killed a few ants along the way as well. I think it's a good reflection, but look, you take it. I did. One of the boys just said, "Shawnee, just take it. You know, it's going the first one." Look, I know it took a little deflection. Probably took kept the keeper bit on his toes, but thankfully it went in. Yeah, that was the one, because I made a good I've seen Matty kind of do it a few times in the first half, making those kind of late runs, and I fancy myself kind of making those front post runs, and I kind of hit my toe. I didn't really get a good connection on it, but it was the one where I kind of played it into Keats, and Keats is bouncing back to me. I've took a touch and went out for a corner. I think that was the one that I fancy myself, but as I said, two goals coming on for half an hour, you'll take it. And as I said, it's only still one loss this season, and as I said, you can take a lot of positives from it. I think the last kind of couple of weeks, I think sometimes you can kind of take your foot off the pedal, which is understandable, like you win the league and stuff like that. And I think the boys after the UCD game, you kind of celebrate for a few days, and we had a good win against Kerry, and as I said, we're just thankful that we kept this one beaten run going. Yeah. As I said, I think me and Keats, the longer we kind of play with each other, and I suppose we know each other off the pitch, but if you get that understanding on the pitch, it's only going to get better with more game time playing with each other. And you can see that tonight for the half an hour we play with each other. And I've said it on numerous occasions, me and Keats can play the same role, whether that's running in behind or Keats dropping in like he did on a few occasions tonight on the half turn and playing me in behind. So it's been good so far.
What more do you have to do for Philip Blount to give him out of the match?
Well, as I said, I walking in, I forgave him the first time, but I think when it happens the second time, I think I was waiting for my name to pop up in the intercom, but
we all were.
I think he deserves now a bit of a cold shoulder for the next couple of weeks now, so I think I'll keep that going now on the way out.
Matty Kiernan didn't get man of the match, though, he had a tremendous game.
He was brilliant from the get-go right until the end. As I said, coming in, he really should have walked away with another assist for me at the end when I clipped the post, but he was brilliant up and down the line. He has everything to be a good left back. He's got legs, he's quick, very good in the ball, and you know what, he's really strong. Like he came up against a good right winger tonight, he was really strong and quick, and I thought Matty dealt brilliantly with that. And I know he scored that right winger, but Matty was probably, well, he was the best player on the pitch tonight.
Tim, you've got to be happy, I suppose, with the way your side fought back there in the second half.
Yeah, listen, I think even the first half I thought we were very good. Listen, when you look at it, it's a poor first goal we concede. It's a straight ball from the defence into midfield, which is difficult. We didn't break a line with the pass and we turned the possession over, and then listen, it's a great ball in, and probably the distance between Maddie and John is maybe a little bit too much, and Tony McNamee scores a great header after a good ball in. And then I thought we were back in the game, we were doing really well. And then the second goal, we get caught in the ball in the middle of the pitch, and then we get beaten at the near post. I think Aidan will probably be a little bit disappointed with that. We went in 2-0 down. I didn't think we deserved to be 2-0 down, and there wasn't a great deal wrong. And in the second half, obviously, listen, we started really well, and then listen, we had the opportunity to put on Cathal, Malik, Keats and Shawnee, and they're probably all playing most teams in the country, so that was a big moment, and listen, Shawnee gets two goals and gets us back, and we probably could have gone on and won the game.
It's really great to see Shawnee's fitness, I suppose, increase over the last couple of weeks, but you see the movement, the more he gets used to playing with Rory Keating and the rest of the players around him, you just see how good of a player he is.
Yeah, and I think there was a few incidents during that second half where it's into Keats, and Shawnee's come under, and it's first time layoff, and then Shawnee's played it to Cahill or Malik, and there's one or two where it's into Shawnee's played around the corner, and Keats is holding the centre backs up, and it's back to him, he gets a shot away, and that's the link up play that I think Shawnee was saying there, that the more they play together, the more they train together, the more the understanding becomes natural and second nature, and that's what you're going to need in games that are tight and compact defence. You need a little link up play and the little creativity and a bit of individual sort of excellence that can create and score chances.
I know we're laughing here about Shawnee not getting man of the match, but like for Matty Kiernan to get man of the match, the performance he put in over 90 minutes for a kid of his age is just phenomenal.
Well, listen, I know Cahill has had a lot of attention and adulation and whatever else for his performances, and what Cahill's going to go on and achieve is really big, and Jaden got a lot as well getting his move to Benfica, but only for Matty breaking his leg the first day of the season, I think he'd be talked up just as highly as the other lads. As three starts now he's had, he was excellent first day of the season against Kerry, he was excellent down in the derby against Cove away, and tonight I thought he was absolutely fantastic again. And again, he's not even his full time because he's in school, but the more he gets about the group and the more understanding he gets of how we want the fullback to play, I think you can see when him bombing forward and he's putting balls in and nearly setting goals up, nearly scoring goals himself from the left back area, and I think the kid's got a very, very bright future. He's on target, that's the thing, you've got to hit the target, and that's the difference of where we're sitting in the league and probably where Finn Harps are, that that deflection goes straight to the keeper's hands or goes past the post if it's the other end of the pitch, the bit of luck that we get and a bit of probably unluckiness that they get when Shawnee hits the target and it takes a deflection and goes in. But and again, the first goal is really good play, and Josh does very well, gets a good shot away, and Shawnee, being the experienced and the poacher that he is, he just sniffs it out and he's the first to follow in. If you actually look at the replay of the goal, Keats is the next one that's right beside it as well, so that's a good sign for the lads to follow in. But again, hit the target.
Yeah.
hit the target and it gives you a chance then with rebounds and whatnot. No, listen, I think after last week and after the season that we've had, and again, I'm not joking, up to the first 60 minutes I was really pleased with how we were playing. Disappointed with the two goals, obviously, but I didn't think there was a lot wrong. We had a lot of chances, we passed the ball really well. I thought Healers and Evan in the middle of the pitch were making great angles and getting into good areas to receive the ball, and it's just as the game got expansive and Keats and Shawnee come on with Cahill and Malik in the wide areas, it really sort of pinned them back, and Shawnee being the quality player that he is, he ends up getting two goals and gets us a draw out of the game, and again we're still unbeaten out at home. Yeah, listen, they were Murph was probably disappointed, but they had, I think, six losses in a row, but then they bounced back with three wins and they're fighting for the playoff place, and you see they came down and they weren't happy just to settle to sit back in. They were good, and if you look at the turnover of players that Murph's had in the last couple of years he was there, I think the club up there stretched a little bit for Raji when he was in there, and Murph sort of had to come in and clean up afterwards, and again we've had next to nothing in the games we played against them. We've had two draws and two wins, but both wins were by the odd goal. I think 1-0 at home, I think it was 2-0 as well actually away, but
yeah,
there was very little in the games, and again we're like, we've got the luxury of now our lads go recover this weekend, and they train and get all the recovery they need all week, and the Harris players mostly be working, some possibly over tomorrow working, and they've got to do a 7-hour trip back up the road, so I think the job that Murph's doing as well is brilliant, and no doubt that in the next five games whatever it is, you'll get them into the playoffs. We've, in fairness, in that area the pitch, we've got Keats and Shawnee coming in the summer, we've got young players at the club as well. I think Harvey Skeeters is a very, very good player, which is one that we want to get game time on the pitch and hopefully develop over the next couple of seasons. And in the wide areas we have very good players, but Success has had a really good season up in Harps. After he left Treat, he went up, and I think Murph's getting the best out of him. He's very good off the right, he's very good as a centre forward, and I think that's 11 league goals he has this season, so it's a brilliant return. And again, I think he suits how they're playing, and Dixie Ferry, the other side, is a very good player, and Patton up top, like, they've got a lot of good players, and then they have the experience of Dave Cawley and Tony McNamee in the middle of the pitch as well, so they are a very good outfit, and they have that little bit of quality in the attacking third as well to get goals, which you've seen tonight.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, lads.
Roy also caught up with City legend Roy O'Donovan.
And delighted now to be joined by a Cork City legend, back from Australia now, I believe, as well, Mr. Roy O'Donovan. Roy, good to see you.
Great to see you, boys. It's a pleasure to be back at the Cross. The result isn't going our way at the moment, but the lads are playing some good stuff, and who knows, an early goal in the second half and we're off and running.
Have you been able to watch much of the City games across the years? I suppose with time differences it doesn't help.
The time difference and having three young kids, it definitely has an impact, but I definitely keep up on the results and players coming in, and I'm delighted to see them back where they belong, back up in the top division.
You were on the pitch there at half time getting a warm reception, probably brought back a lot of memories as well, Roy.
I brought back a lot of memories coming into the stadium here, seeing the pitch so beautiful, seeing the jerseys lovely and crisp, but there's an O'Donovan on the pitch there, number three as well. Definitely Philip will probably speak for all ex-players to say that you'd always love to tug on the jersey one more time, but it's for the young ones now, and they're doing well enough without all us old codgers trying to clog up the place.
And you won't be putting on a jersey anymore, you've retired.
I retired from professional football. I've been fortunate enough to get out with all my limbs and still love the game, and yeah, I'm lucky, I'm passionate, I've got to live my dream. A big part of that was playing for Cork City and having some great nights here in the league and in Europe and all that, and yeah, look, to play overseas and to play for over 20 years, I'm blessed. So,
20-year career, it's been incredible.
Was it 20 years?
Yeah, well, I'm 39 and I left school, I left home. Pat Kelly, believe it or not, many people will know him as a former referee.
He's down below.
He was the scout that brought me over to Coventry when I was 15. I left home, left school. That didn't quite work out, but Cork City, when I came back at 18, gave me a great breeding ground, taught me how to be a first team professional football player, and I'm fully confident that gave me the desire, the learning and the ability to go on and have another 19, 20 year career as a first team player. And as I said, I'm privileged and blessed, and I still love and I'm passionate about the game.
We're coming up on the 20th anniversary of that incredible 05 team, that incredible league win in 2005, which doesn't feel like 20 years ago, because that means that we're both old, Roy, but yes. That was just an incredible team and an incredible year that you had that year.
It was terrific, and what I loved about that team was all good people, down to earth blokes, and we used to fill the stadium and no one got too big for their boots. We just got the job done. Damien is very good, and I know he was Phillip's boss at one time as well. Damien's very good at playing the type of football that suits the personnel, and we played really nice attacking football. It suited wingers, it suited strikers, it suited me, so I enjoyed it. But there were some real characters there at the time, Rory. You look back now and the Joe Gambles, the John O'Flynn's, the Georgies, the Neil Fenn's, the Danny Murphy's, they're just real. Michael Devine's, just characters. You don't get it anymore, you know. Football has changed so much. You can't say anything anymore. People don't play. They play very cookie cutter now, but back in those days, people played with the same personality. They spoke it off the pitch, you know.
As I mentioned, Phil, you both played under Damien Richardson. What was he like to play under?
He was great, in fairness, and he let you express what you wanted to do, and you know, and it was great having that ability to do that out onto the pitch. Yeah, you know, so it was good. He gave you the confidence then when you're on the ball to just to take that step forward again. So he was very, very good, in fairness to the club as well and the team.
You've had an incredible career. I mean, like, when you look back on your career and the teams you played for and the matches you played in and all the countries you played in, it must be hard, I suppose, to pick a highlight that isn't Cork City related, first off.
Well, yeah, well, look, Cork City will always be there and definitely in the top three. Without Cork City, I wouldn't have went on to have the career that I have done, but really proud memories. When you're talking about when I played in the League of Ireland, even the teams you were playing against, Shelburne was so strong, that the Houlihans of this world, Paddy McCourt up at Derry, you know, the rivalry that we had with Stephen Kenny's teams up in Derry, you know, it was really good days. But you know, winning the league at Cork City, playing in the Premier League, obviously, but I must say playing in the A-League in Australia was a real highlight of my career as well. So I've been very fortunate. It's been very varied and storied, but you know, lots of great memories.
How long are you in Australia now?
I'm in Australia now 9 years.
Wow. Yeah. Australian citizen as well.
Australian citizen with the grey hairs to match, 3 kids, Aussie accents. What am I doing, Philip? What's happened in my life?
What a story you're telling is brilliant. It really is brilliant.
He hasn't lost that Northside accent in the slightest.
Not never lose it. I never lose it.
I got that off Patsy Fred.
And the fresh air on the Northside.
That's it. And it's great to be home. It's nice to see some nice weather as well. The last couple of days, the weather at home is better than Australia. So I might even move back. Who knows?
You never know. But talk about your A-League career, Roy. I mean, like, you did have an incredible A-League career and played with some great teams and some great players across the years.
Yeah, no, very blessed to play in the A-League. Again, you know, we're very over here, we're very kind of sheltered in British football and League of Ireland football, but you know, I opened up my kind of my eyes, my horizons, and I went abroad, and Australia, really good football, really good players, really good level. And you know, what it has, the advantage it has on Irish football is it gets some financial backing, and it had a lot more as years have gone on, or years gone by I should say, but COVID has had an effect on everything. But I just think the League of Ireland Premier Division is definitely getting a bit of a reboot. I think fans are coming to games. You look at Bowes and Shamrock Rovers and Cork City, as I said, back where they belong. And going back to Australia, look, to score all the goals over there and have such a, you know, 5 or 6 really good years there. And I still work in Paramount Plus now. I speak about the game like you're doing now, and you know, I'm still passionate about it. And as I said, just very, very fortunate to play with great players and get to do what I love for a living.
You scored goal of the year one season as well, didn't you?
I scored goal of the year. I was in the top 10 all-time scorers at one point. I think I've been pushed down the track now in the last couple of years, unfortunately. But yeah, look, these are all great things. But without good teammates around you, you don't score one goal. So I've been very lucky. good strikers are always surrounded by very good players, and I've always been surrounded by very good players.
If I were to ask if your Cork City highlight, what would it be?
Oh, the highlight for me would be definitely winning the league in 05 when Flinney scored here after about 17 minutes, and it just set the tone. Full stadium, settled the nerves, and we played some really electric football that night against Stephen Kenny's Derry City. But yeah, scoring. Barry Coffey scored a hat-trick last week. Yeah. He's welcomed himself into a very unique club there, so I'm lucky to be part of that gang as well, along with the Caulfields and the Morleys and the O'Flynns of this world, you know. So yeah, welcome Barry.
And as you mentioned, right, a 20-year career, 39 years of age, you're looking fit out though, you look like you could go for another couple of years. How hard was it to come to that decision to say, right, it's time to pack it up?
Yeah, well look, as I said, having three kids and the amount of travelling I was doing playing football, and as I said, I'm doing a bit of media stuff, I'm coaching young kids with my academy as well over there. I have a lot going on, too much, and something had to give. Yeah. And you know, as I said to yourself and Philip there, I think football is becoming a lot younger now. You look at the birth certs out there, and there's not many in 1985, I tell you that much, you know. So it's going younger, it's going cheaper, but you know, they're teaching them how to play the right way, and tactically, technically, they're all really good, astute players, and it's good to see young Healy as well in the middle. It's always good to see a Healy in midfield.
And Barry Coffey makes way for Seanan Maguire. What a player Seanan Maguire is, right?
Absolutely, and again, another guy, himself and Keating, are coming back to kind of reboot their career. They've had great days here. They know this is the kind of club the fans get right behind you, and I think they're just the kind of players we need for the Premier Division next year. That bit of experience, that bit of class, you know, it's hard to come by, and I think you know, they've had injuries and a bit of bad form in the last year or two, but they'll get it back here very quickly. They'll get well supported, and they just need a little bit of firepower behind them to put the ball in the right areas for them.
One thing I've always wanted to ask you is that every season after you left, the rumours were like, oh, Roy's coming back to City. Was it ever a consideration? Was there ever any discussions? Did it ever come close?
2014, John Caulfield called me up just before I went to Australia, and it gave me something to think about. At the same time, Stephen Kenny rang me from Dundalk.
Ooh.
But guess what? There was only ever going to be one decision there if I was coming back.
You wouldn't be talking to us now if you
Correct.
Went there, right?
No.
But yeah.
No, definitely not.
And I kind of said, look, you know what? I'm going to go to Australia for a season. I like the look of it. I'll see how it goes, and look, I'll get back to you. But, you know, famous last words. I went to Australia, loved it, loved the football, and I always had it in the back of my head. I'd come back and maybe do a guest stint at Cork City, you know, play a few games there at some point to finish it off. But, you know, they don't need me. They're winning competitions now without, as I said, old guys like me, and it's nice to come and watch them without the pressure and just enjoy it.
Well, the club are doing walking football now, so the three of us might get a game.
There you go, yeah, there you go. Philip Strayden, he's captain, isn't he?
I'm not sure he's
right, thanks.
He'll be studs up even at walking pace.
That's on his own team.
Right, an absolute pleasure, buddy. It's absolutely fantastic to see you. Welcome home.
Thanks, lads. Nice to see you, Ryan.
Thanks, lads. Pleasure to see you. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
Great stuff from everyone in Turner's Cross there. We're going to fly through some of the Premier League match reports now before we hear from City's Danny Murphy. And Ryan Bromelow has the halftime report here from Selhurst Park. It's Crystal Palace 0, Manchester United 0.
Half time, Crystal Palace 0, Manchester United 0. A crisp feel to United as they go in at the break, heavily frustrated. They've been incisive and everything but fine the net. United hit the bar twice through Garnacho and Fernandez, and it climbed high from a corner but couldn't convert from close quarters. And Xerxes almost pounced in a 6-yard area, his effort off target in the end. A dry United spell after a 10 goal spree in midweek sees it goalless at the break. Crystal Palace 0, Manchester United 0.
At half-time, Adam Dury has the full-time report from the King Power Stadium.
Sean Dyche stated his Everton side really needed this point as his side moved off the bottom spot. But the Toffees appeared afflicted by a visible lack of confidence. After deservedly taking the lead in the game there for the taking, their approach rapidly turned tentative and insular, as though they expected it to go wrong. Eventually, Steve Cooper sensed it, so did his Leicester players. Their Foxes upped the pressure and nearly ended up with more than a point. Regardless, both these teams are going to need to find a way to sustain intensity for longer in order to secure a first win. Leicester 1, Everton 1.
Tom Ross, supporting for Villa Park.
Aston Villa 3, Wolves 1. Three massive points for Villa thanks to goals from Ollie Watkins, Ezri Konsa and John Duran. But they looked tired in a first half that Wolves dominated and took the lead. But second half substitutions by Villa boss Unai Emery made a massive difference. He says he was happy with the character that the players showed. He lost influential skipper John McGinn with a hamstring injury. The Wolves boss Gary O'Neill says they have to find a way of turning things around and turning them around quickly. They have gone rock bottom of the championship table. He lost his defender, Yerson Mascheres. He was stretched off with a knee injury and could be out for some time. It finished Aston Villa 3, Wolves 1.
The last one here, Shane Pinnington has the full-time report from Anfield.
Liverpool 3, Bournemouth 0. Arne Slot's men return to winning ways in the Premier League after 3 goals in 9 first half minutes. Stun Bournemouth. Luis Diaz got the first two, Randy Kepper for the first, and then taking in Alexander Arnold's pass to slot home the second. And Darwin Nunes made it 3 with the goal of the game, curling home from 20 yards. The home school scored more, but for Kepper in the visitor's goal, whilst Bournemouth's best chance saw Kelleher keep out Sinisterra's effort. It was a comfortable afternoon then in the end for the hosts. Liverpool 3, Bournemouth 0.
Yeah, is Nunes back to domestic action now? Cork City were unfortunately knocked out of the Women's Sports Direct FAI Cup semi-final against Shells in Talcott Park earlier today. Score 5-0. Let's hear now from the yellow carded City boss, Danny Murphy.
Danny, disappointing one. Didn't go to plan.
Yeah, no, look, I think that Shells were good. I think that, you know, took all their chances and, you know, punished us at times in the game. I think that we had a game plan and we probably just didn't play as well as we can. And look, if you're coming to play Shells, you've just got to be honest and go, look, if you're not at it, it's going to be a difficult day. And I thought they were good, to be fair. I thought, like, they did, they moved the ball around well and kept good possession of the ball. And, but we've got to do, we want to be where they are. We want to be the ones that are challenging for titles every year, year on, year out, and being in cup finals. And but we've got a little bit of a way to go, and we've got to be honest with ourselves. We've still got things we need to improve on and get better at, and we're not quite there yet, but we will. We'll get there, and we'll continue to improve and continue to develop, and we'll get to where we need to.
Yeah, it's one of those things, as disappointing as it is today as a one-off match, probably kind of have to take a step back and look at the overall picture as where we are this year compared to the last couple of years. Like, it's as disappointing as today is, it's still been a massive improvement overall.
Oh, yeah, massive. Look, it has been a massive improvement, and there's been so much positive about what we've done this year, and we've got into a semi-final. It just wasn't quite our time on the day, and we didn't have that performance that we probably needed today to beat Shells. And look, they're a good side, and they're probably going to potentially win the league and potentially win a cup final, and there's a reason why. Like, they're good enough to do that, and that's where we want to be as players and as staff, and we want to consistently get to that. And it takes time. Like, it does take time, and it's, you know, we're probably in like the early stages of where we want to get to, and we've just got to continue to develop. And look, we've got to take positives. We're in a semi-final, we're probably going to finish in a really good position in the league if we win our last two games, and we've got to worry about that now and forget today and move on and continue to try and get better and go back to the drawing board and work on a few things. But, you know, look, we had that one chance. If it goes in,
Becky's chance,
yeah, it goes in, I think it's a different outlook on the game, because it's two goals in quick succession after that, and it's like, I couldn't really see the penalty, but if the press are asking me if it's what I think of the penalty, they obviously don't think it was. So
and the yellow card, was it you were booked or James was booked?
Probably, I think it was me, but all I was just asking the question was, like, just before the first goal, when Will Murray dives in the box and he gives no penalty as a dive, but then that should be a yellow card and a free kick out. But they get the ball straight back from that and score off the first goal, and that's what I was asking the question. But you've got a fourth official who don't want to listen, and I don't want to go into the officials because it's not going to achieve anything, and it's not the reason for why we lost the game, but they probably didn't, they had an input into the first half as to why we probably didn't get anything out of the game.
And next up now, two games left in the league. You want to finish that strongly, both at home as well, so a chance to come out and support.
Yeah, it might be a pressure added onto the girls, but they're two games we fully expect to win, and we've got to go into them games and win them. And if we win the two of them, we'll be putting ourselves in a really good position to where we finished last year. The season would be a good season, but if we can dwell on today and worry about today, which we can't fix till next season, or we can get our heads down, forget about today now and move on from it, and we go and win the next two home games, and we finish in a really good position in the league.
And just finally, today's game, Sean McCarthy came off the bench, that's her 100th appearance. It's another great milestone for a player to reach.
Yeah, it's massive, and look, some of the girls should be aiming to get to that and trying to get to 100 games or 200 games or 300, and like, be consistent at doing that and you'll stay in the team. And like, it's brilliant for Sean. I'm delighted for her. She's massive fan of the club, you know, like, it's probably, it means a lot to her, and it'd have been nice to have win a game. And it's like, as we said, if Eva plays every game between now and we got in a cup final, she would have played 100 games. But, you know, we've now got to dust ourselves off now and, you know, go and try and win on Saturday.
That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. Have a great evening. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.
The Big Red Bench with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the GAA Hurling All-Ireland Senior Championship.